John chapter number 5 tonight. 1 John chapter number 5, some of my favorite passages in all of the Word of God. Hey, man. Oh, yes. Hey, man. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for bloody Calvary. Amen. I know a lot of preachers, a lot of people don't like the idea of a bloody, quote, religion. I want to remind you, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so without blood being shed, we find that back in the Garden of Eden, that God required blood to, at least for that moment, set Adam and Eve right with Him. Their coats of skins, or sorry, their clothing from the fig leaves that they took to make themselves aprons just didn't cut it. So God had to make sure that He could clothe them. So to have them clothed, God required blood. And so I thank God for blood. Amen. Thank God for the blood of Christ. Amen. Tonight. Amen. Now, I know we haven't done it today. Anybody have a word of testimony on your heart tonight? Maybe something you want to testify earlier and praise report, praise, answered prayer. I want to brag on the Lord tonight. Anybody? Amen. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen.
So many people. My mom and I had a conversation just a couple of months ago, And she's like, "But you were saved, you were saved before that." And I was like, "No, no, I wasn't." Mm-mm. And I was still living. And now I need to ask her, and I want to find out when she thinks I was saved. Because I got baptized at 11, and I lived like the devil for 20 years. The last time I talked to my mom,
amen. Amen.
And it's the saddest thing to see that there's no hope and there's no peace. And it's just, I go to church and I live this way and I do this and I believe. And I'm like, believe the devil, believe.
That's right.
Where's the change? And I'm so grateful for the change.
Amen. Amen. Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Can anybody quote that for me? Therefore, if any man, Christ, he is a new creature. Yeah, yeah. You're just overjoyed right now. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Amen. Now, your change may not have been as great because you may not have been in as deep a sin as some people. And thank God for that. Yeah, that's right. Thank God for that. But here's the thing, there will be a change. There will be some kind, there will be a change somewhat. If there has been no change, listen, no change, no salvation. No change, no salvation. I'll say it one more time, no change, no salvation. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Very well could be. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Anybody else tonight?
Pastor, I thank the Lord for his patience.
Yes, sir.
It takes more than just a couple of times to get through to me, and he knows that. He kept trying.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Aren't you glad God's long-suffering? Amen. 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 Yes, ma'am. Miss Ashley. Miss Fields. Mrs. Fields.
I have a friend who was raised Catholic.
She's telling me the other day,
she thinks Catholic is a beautiful religion. And I'm just so thankful that I don't have a religion, but I have Jesus.
Amen. 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 I was talking with somebody earlier and said, you know, Catholicism is a beautiful ceremony. It makes you feel like you've been to church. But you know what? Listen to me. You got to go back the next day and do it all over again. And again and again and again. When's it going to be enough? When is it going to be enough? I asked myself that question. And I read Hebrews chapter number 10, around verse number 12, said, but this man made one sacrifice for sins forever. He sat down. It's done. Amen. No more going into the Holy of Holies. No more laboring in the tabernacle. The work is finished. You look at the Old Testament furniture. There's no seat in the tabernacle because the work was never done. That's because there is a seat in heaven on the right hand of God for the one who made the final sacrifice to go to. So, amen. Amen. I might just preach out of that tonight, all this. I mean, it's just, I'm enjoying this. This is good. Amen. 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 Anybody else tonight? Amen. 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 Praising the Lord is contagious. You hear what other people are thankful for and you realize, wow, I ought to be thankful for that. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Amen. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Amen. 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 All right. Amen. We're going to 1 John 5. Anybody else tonight before we get started? Want to testify? Amen. All righty. Amen. Nothing wrong with taking your liberty. Listen, if you're saved, you know what? If you're saved, you ought to have a testimony. There are some people, I've been in church, some of y'all have been in church for 30 years, like me. Some of y'all have been in church for 50 or longer. And there are people, you never see them go pray. You never hear them testify. You never hear anything out of them. And I know that we're all, like I've said it before, I know we're all different. Not everybody's out of the same mold. We're all wired differently, kind of how I put it. But at some point in time, I would think that we would hear something from some folks. You know what I'm saying? And what I mean by that is, thank the Lord for His goodness. Thank the Lord for His blessings. And I believe pretty much just about everybody in here at some point in time, everybody who's sitting in this building tonight who's been here for any length of time, I'm pretty sure I've heard everybody either give a salvation testimony or thank God for what He's done. And I appreciate that. But I'm grateful for the Lord's goodness. Amen. Grateful for it. I want to turn to 1 John chapter 5. Excuse me. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. We're not going to read the entire chapter. We're just going to read down through verse number 13. But we're going to start at verse number 5. I want to read verse 5 down through 13. We're going to look at just a few things here tonight, out of just a few of these verses. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5 says this: Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay? Let me read that again. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood. Now I want you to kind of keep some of these, you're going to see some of these words repeated tonight. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. We receive the witness of men. The witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Lord, we pray that you'd bless the word tonight, and pray that you would help us this evening. We ask, Lord, that you just do a work in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to everyone in the building this evening. Lord, you know we need your help. Lord, we need your blessing tonight. And I pray, God, that your Spirit would take these words, the truth of God, and, Lord, that you would burn them into our hearts tonight. And, Lord, that you would bring us the peace that only comes from your word. For we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the Bible says in verse number 5 here, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That word overcomer, is the same word where we get the Greek word for victory. Some of y'all have worn Nike shoes before. Anybody ever worn Nike shoes before? Yeah, most of you probably have at some point in time. It comes from the Greek word nike, which means victory. That's the word here that's used in our text here. Who is he that overcometh the world? Who's one that's got the victory over the world? Who is it? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So here's the question tonight. Who has victory? Okay, who has victory? Who has victory? The victor is the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, as we think about that question, I want to move just very briefly through the text and how God begins to witness regarding His Son. Verse 6 says this: This is He that came by water and blood. You see that? Skip down to verse number 8. I'll take that back. Yeah, verse number 8. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. You see that. So if we're going to have victory, we better make sure that we're on the winning team. And I know that sounds very catchy, that sounds very cliche, but here's what I want to look at tonight for a few minutes. Verse number 9 says this, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. When we think about the book of 1 John, the book of 1 John is the book of assurance. There are books in the Bible that are very relatively easy to outline. And one of the ways that you'll learn, you know, Brother Helms down at the college down there, one thing he's going to learn, brother, is that when you go through a book, you're going to have to put together an outline, okay? We put together an outline because we want to get not just the points that are given, but we want to get the flow of thought and see how the thoughts, you know, go from one point to the next, how they change, etc. Well, I'm going to say this. If you would work sometime the next week or two and put together a good outline on 1 John that flows pretty easily, I would love to see it. And I'm saying that because 1 John is notoriously hard when it comes to outlining it. The reason being is because John is almost dealing with things pastorally as they're coming up. He deals with this issue, and there is a flow of thought, but it does not seem like it all flows together. It seems like it goes over hills and dales and all the rest of it. And I'm not saying anything in disrespect to the Scripture. Sometimes you have listened to me, and you're like, what in the world is he talking about? Where is he going? All right? Thank you for not saying amen to that. I appreciate that so much. But 1 John, honestly, is a notoriously hard book to outline because sometimes the flow of thought is kind of hard to follow. But here's the thing. If you will look at, there are a few key verses. And I know we're in 1 John 5. You've seen this before, but we're going to look at it one more time. I want you to go look at me, or look with me rather, in chapter number 1, okay? Look at verse number 4. We're just going to look just really briefly at a few verses, so hold on tonight. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So the reason 1 John is written is to bring the readers of the text here full joy. You see that? All right? These things. I want you to go to chapter 2 and verse number 12. Chapter 2 and verse number 12. Okay. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. You see that? So here's the thing I want us to see tonight. We see that there are several reasons that John has written. We see he's written that they may have full joy. We see he's writing to these little children because their sins are forgiven them for the namesake of Christ. Okay? Now we could look at a few other passages, but I want us just to go back to our text tonight. Let's look at verse number 13. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? That you may know that you have eternal life. The reason God has written to us the book of 1 John is so you can know that you have eternal life. And I understand there are folks who have been saved and they have never doubted it before. But if you have ever dealt with doubt, 1 John has become one of your closest friends. Okay? I would recommend a person who is dealing with doubt to read through 1 John every single day. If you want to read through every chapter, all five chapters, 116 verses or so, something like that, 105 verses, something like that. If you would read through, as soon as I said that, somebody's going to go through, y'all going to count them. You're going to count them, all right? If it's 105, just kind of wave your hand, let me know. I can't remember if it's 116, 105. Seemed like it's 105. But if you will read whether it's a chapter a day, whether two chapters a day, whether it is all five chapters, I would recommend that you read the book of 1 John. I'm very concerned with people who say, I prayed a prayer when I was 8 years old and I'm fine. I'm really concerned about that. Miss Sierra, not everybody who prays a prayer when they're a young age is truly saved. Miss Sarah, not everyone who is baptized at a certain age is saved. So understand that I have talked to some people who have made professions at a young age, but they have never seemed to doubt it. Well, praise the Lord for those who never seem to doubt it, but I want to see some fruit to go along with that profession. And I've talked to people who have never doubted their salvation, who don't have any fruit of salvation, which makes me believe many of them have been, to use an old phrase from down south, they've been slipped to counterfeit. So if we look at 1 John, these things, what we have read tonight, actually, if you will, is the bringing together of everything that John has written, focusing on the person of Christ, not just because we're looking at it from our perspective. 1 John chapter number 1, 2, and 3 deal with a lot of things from our perspective. So for instance, he that says he has no sin, he deceives himself, the truth's not in him. Well, we're going to have to deal with sin. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, 1 John 2, and the word's not in him. 1 John 3:14, hereby know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Okay? But here we're going to look at it not from the perspective of, let me look at these points. And I've talked to a dear preacher that I know, and y'all in here know him, and he said, he used to go through 1 John and look at the checklist, and somebody said, don't go through the checklist. So I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with looking at the checklist, because that's what God's given to us, is a checklist, if you will. And so if you look through there and you've got the evidence of salvation, that's it. Okay? Now, if we look at it from that perspective, there's nothing wrong with seeing it that way. But here we're looking at things from God's perspective. All right? Now he says in 1 John 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And he comes down and talks about how God has witnessed on this earth where you and I can see to witness that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. Now, let me give you just a little bit of background. I think most people know this. We've talked about it before. But 1 John was written because there was a heresy that was creeping in to the Mediterranean world, which was the religion of Gnosticism. Now, Gnosticism did not become fully blown into full-blown what we call Gnosticism until about the middle of the second century. But there was a group of what we call pre or proto early Gnostics. They were called Docetists. Okay? They were Docetics. That word comes from the Greek word dikeo, which means to seem. They said Jesus really was not manifest in the flesh. He only seemed to come in the flesh. That's why we see John dealing with that which we have looked upon, which we've seen with our eyes, which our hands have handled of the Word of Life. He wants people to know Jesus is not a ghost. He's not a phantom. He is a living person. We saw him, we handled him, we touched him, if you will. So he's writing to deal with that. Now, as we look at this, keep that in mind historically, but I want to deal with it tonight, not just from an historical standpoint, I want to deal with it from a spiritual standpoint. Look with me in verse number 8. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. And we look at verse 6, we see that water and blood mentioned there. We see the Spirit mentioned in verse 6, Holy Ghost in verse number 7, we see Spirit in verse number 8. So what we're going to see tonight is a little bit about how God witnesses. Look at verse number 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. You see that? If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. So, here's what I want to do. I want to ask you a question. How do we receive the witness of men? How do we receive the witness of men? Yeah. We receive their testimony, their word. Miss Becky deals with testimony, I guess, all the time, don't you, Miss Becky? And I guess that you got to have affidavits and all that other stuff there. But basically, an affidavit is just a formalized testimony, I'm guessing. I mean, just for us lay people, legalese, so. What's that? It holds up in court, yeah. That's exactly right. So if we receive the witness, the testimony, in fact, the word witness there, I am almost positive. I could look it up here. If we receive, yeah, the witness of men is the same word where we get our word martyr, which means to witness. If we receive the witness of men, how do I receive the witness of men? Brother Helms joined the church this morning. Well, I wasn't going to let him join because I like him. He's a nice guy. Because, you know, he wears an awesome, you know, he can really wear a green. I can't pull off the green, brother. I can't do it. It's not me. I wish I could. I had a dark green shirt one time, different shade of green at one time. But I just, you know, well, when I'm outside in the woods, it's like, yeah, I do the green thing all the time, you know. Not because I like him, he's a nice guy. It's not because we know the same people. But he gave a witness. He gave a testimony this morning. Okay? He gave a testimony. Now, we received him into the church membership this morning because we received his witness. Okay? So there is a word. He gave his testimony. But let's take it a step further into Miss Becky's realm here. Let's take it with somebody giving it with an oath. Okay? It's one thing to give a word of testimony. It's another to raise your hand and say the whole, you know, I'm solemnly swear, give the whole truth, nothing but the truth, you know, so help me God, I do. All right, you know, y'all seen Perry Mason. Amen. Matt Locke and the rest of it. It's one thing to say it verbally. It's another thing to go on record as saying it. Okay? It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to go on record. Now, why did I say that? Look at verse number 9. For this is the witness which God hath testified of his Son. Verse 11, and this is the record. You see that? So here's the thing I want us to look at. We're told that we receive the witness of men, but watch this. The witness of God is what? Greater. Now, here's the thing I want us to see tonight. If you believe what I say, you believe what Brother Helms said this morning in his testimony, all right? You believe Brother Allen's testimony of God's goodness of grace, of had he just, you know, just kind of rocked along, ripped through the bridge, he could have ripped the top off the trailer, and boy, that would have been not a blessing for the day. Yeah. You believe what he said. Watch this. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. What you've got to decide, and I want you to listen to me. I'm going to go ahead and give you a summary of where I'm going for the entire message tonight right here. If you believe what people say about their own testimony, you need to believe what God says about His Son. Not only that, but about those who believe on Him. Oh, yes. Yes. Amen. We need to believe that. You see, here's the thing. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. It is God's own testimony. Hebrews 6 verse 13 says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, listen, he swore by himself. Hallelujah. Now when did that happen? That happened in chapter number 15. Whenever he was going to make a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham fell asleep after he had laid out the halves of the animal. And when he looked, he saw that smoking furnace, that burning lamp walking between the pieces. Normally it would be me and Brother Gannon walking arm in arm saying, we're agreeing on this, and if we go back on one or the other, God do to us what happens to this animal. God went through those pieces all by himself. He was saying, I'm swearing by myself that I'm going to treat you as I have said. Amen. Oh, yes. So God's oath is greater than man's oath. Let me tell you something. When God swears, you can take her to the bank. It may take a while. The wheel may turn slow, but honey, she's a coming around. You just better wait God's time. Oh, yes. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Jesus said this in John 5:31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, that's something else. Why would Jesus say that? He's not saying I'm not worthy to be trusted. He's going by what the Jews would have judged under the Mosaic law. Okay? Verse 32, Jesus says in John 5:32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. And if we look in the context there, Jesus is speaking of the Father. Okay? Which we have right here in our text. This is the witness of God, the Father, if you will, verse number 8, or 9 rather, which he hath testified of his Son. So here's the thing. Number one, how do we receive the witness of men? We receive their word. We receive their oath. We believe what they say. General truthfulness. Somebody says they're going to be somewhere. They're going to do a certain thing. We believe them. If God has given us his word, we ought to believe what God says. Take it to the bank. Believe it. When God gives an oath, when God goes on record, if you will, about saying something, he has laid it out and put his very name, his very character on the line that what he has said he is able also to perform. One man says it this way, John focuses attention in this text here, not on our acceptance of God's testimony, but on the significance of God's testimony. This was worth highlighting and pasting, so I'm going to say it again. John focuses attention not on our accepting God's testimony, but on the significance of that testimony. Now, here's the thing. Just a second, we're going to talk about accepting that testimony. But the big thing is, why is God's testimony worthy of acceptation? Because it's God's testimony. Am I making sense, or is this just kind of like, I don't know what you're talking about? If we need to call the dogs off and, you know, take them back to the box, go to the house, we can come back and try her again later. But here's the thing that I want to say. We have so many people who struggle with salvation. So I want you to understand, the reason people are troubled about salvation is because they are focused in here and they're not focused in here. You believe what God says. Look at me. You cannot go to hell believing what God says regarding you placing your faith in Christ alone for salvation. It's impossible. If you go to hell for trusting Christ for salvation, God is a liar. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. I can see this sun peeking down in the west, getting ready to slip down on the other side. That sun will not come up tomorrow morning. Yeah, that will sooner happen than God to be made a liar. Oh, yes. So here's the thing I want us to look at. What exactly is the testimony of God? Well, let's go back here in just a minute. In verse number 8, there are three that bear witness in earth. This is it. God has given testimony to his Son in the realm where mankind can see. That's what we're dealing with tonight. We're not dealing with verse 7, we're dealing with verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth. Watch this. The Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now, if we look at the testimony, we look at that testimony, we have the Spirit, who is God, but we have water and blood, who are not people. They're inanimate objects. Does that sound kind of strange to you? That an inanimate object bearing witness? Sounds kind of strange, don't it? Let me read you Genesis 31:48. And Laban said, this heap of stones is a witness between me and thee this day. There were heaps of stones that were a witness between Jacob and Laban. There also were stones that were put up into the promised land. Remember the stones that were in the Jordan, the stones that were outside of Jordan? Those were a witness. It wasn't so much for the testimony of that those rocks, it was the testimony of the work of God. Okay? In that particular case. But let's look just for a minute at the testimony which God has given of his Son. If we look in verse number 8, the Spirit, the water, and the blood all bear witness on the earth. Now, how in the world did that happen? Well, in Matthew chapter 3, in verse number 17, there was a voice that came from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." This happens after the Spirit of God descends on Christ. So we see the Spirit of God bore witness to Christ when he was baptized. The Spirit of God did not come on him and make him the Christ. He already was Christ. That's very plain from the Gospel of Luke, very plain from the Gospel of Matthew. The voice came from heaven at his baptism. In Matthew chapter number 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a voice that Peter, James, and John heard that said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Don't worry about Moses and Elijah. You hear what my Son has to say. And then when Jesus came into Jerusalem in John 12, there was a voice that came from heaven that said, "I've glorified thy name and I'm going to glorify it again." God bore witness to Christ three different times with a voice from heaven. God bore witness to who Jesus is. Okay? So number one, the Spirit of God has borne witness to who Jesus is. He anointed him, if you will, at his baptism before the work. And of course, Jesus was filled with the Spirit of God. He went out into the wilderness, all of those things. The works that he did in the power of the Spirit of God. So let's look here for a minute. The Spirit has witnessed, but look at verse number 8. There are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, and the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. What about the water and the blood? What about the water and the blood? How does the water and the blood witness? We probably see a final culmination of that in word, if you will, in John 19:34, whenever the soldier took the spear, rammed it into his side, and he broke what we would call the pericardium, the sac around the heart that had ruptured after the heart had ruptured and captured all of that blood. And the Bible says, forthwith came there out what? Blood and water. Okay, so we see the water and the blood mentioned there, not in the same order, but mentioned in that text. But here's the thing I want us to see tonight. Remember, John is writing against these Docetists, these almost Gnostics who deny that Jesus came in the flesh. What could water represent? Some people say, well, it probably represented his baptism. You could argue that. Most of the writers that I've seen, a lot of them argue that. But where else would water be a witness about Jesus? We could probably talk to Sister Thornsley about it. We'll be talking to Miss Sarah about it here in a month or so. Amen. Probably be talking to our daughter-in-law here in, 6 weeks or so. Whenever a woman's water breaks, listen, Jesus came by water. He came into this world just like anybody else would come into this world, through the womb of a woman. The only exception is he was not conceived in the womb by man, but he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. So the thing I want us to see tonight, here's how God's witnessing. Jesus came, he was not a spook, he was not a phantom, he was not a spirit. He came by water, if you will, and he was born into this world, but he also came by blood, in that the blood that was flowing through his veins was shed on bloody Calvary so that mankind could be free from sin. Amen. And the penalty of sin. So here's the thing I want us to see tonight. I keep saying that. I want to see a whole lot of things because there's so much to see in this text. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God's greater. How has God witnessed? Number one, he is witnessed by the Spirit through that voice from heaven, identifying the one who came by water at his birth, who came by blood in his death, and three times between the birth and the death, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." God has witnessed as to who Jesus is. You hear that? Now, if you get that, I want us to look here tonight. If we receive verse number 9, the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Look at verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God, watch this, hath the witness in himself. You can take that several ways. Number one, you can take it as the Spirit of God lives on the inside. Remember that? And remember, the Spirit is one of the three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. He lives on the inside. Okay? Here's the other thing. Have you believed the gospel? Have you believed the gospel? If you have believed the gospel, here's what you've done. You have believed the witness that God said of His Son. You believe He is the virgin-born Son of God. You don't believe that He's some spirit floating around somewhere. There is a man right now in heaven seated on the right hand of God. Amen. Amen. He has wounds in his hands, in his feet, his side. Amen. Yes, he does. Yes, he's there. If you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've received Him. Okay? And we always talk about receiving Christ as Savior. Listen, you receive Christ as Christ. He's Lord and Savior. That's who He is. Amen. That's right. People say, well, I want a Savior. Well, you have to take the other side of the coin. You got to take, yeah, that's right. Amen. Amen. That's right. My wife married me. She got my good looks and my affability and my niceness and all that. She got both of them, see. What are y'all laughing at? Oh, my word. She's laughing. Okay, y'all can laugh, I guess. You get all of a person. You get their good side. You get what we would call their quirks. Well, God has no bad side. He does have a side of holiness that many of us have, as we grow in our Christian life, learn that we must submit to. A lot of folks don't want to have that lordship over them, but Christ is not only Savior, He is Lord. When you receive Christ, you receive Him for who He is. Savior, Lord, that's who He is. When you receive Jesus, you receive the one who came by His baptism. I'm not by baptism, rather, who came by water. By the way, there's some other ones too here. So whenever in Luke chapter number 2, Jesus is born in Bethlehem, you know, Mary's water breaks, she brings forth the firstborn son, wraps him in swaddling clothes, lays him in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, so did God witness from heaven in Luke chapter number 2 in Bethlehem? Absolutely. So when you receive the witness of God, you're receiving what God has said regarding Christ. You've got God's testimony in your heart. Is any of this making sense? Either it is or it ain't. I know I was going to say it isn't, but it's like either it's making sense or it just is not making sense. I'm seeing some looks that are like, it's making sense. And I'm seeing some looks like, I ain't quite sure. The creek's got a little mud in it, brother. So I want to make sure, well, I understand after a rainstorm, the creek's got a little mud in it, but you just let the mud settle. The water's going to clear up. Amen. She'll get clear in a minute. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. So here's the thing. If you've truly believed God, you have that witness in you. Number one, you've got the Spirit of God living inside of you. But you've also believed the details of the record that God has given of His Son. You believe Christ for who He is. If I tried to come along to you and to talk you out of your belief in Jesus, I could give you book after book after book, talk to you about people who say Jesus isn't God, we found this, we found that. Oh, we found the bone box of Jesus in Jerusalem. Well, no, they haven't. Okay. What would that prove? It would prove that there was somebody else who lived around 30 A.D., died around 30 A.D., whose name was Jesus, had bones put in a box somewhere. That's all it would prove. And Jesus is a common name, just like John and Mike and, you know, Jim and David and, you know, all the, that's it, it's very common. It's very common. So, if you believe on the Son of God, verse number 10, you have the witness in Himself. Look at this. Now, here's the opposite. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. If a person doesn't believe God, they don't believe that Jesus is virgin born. They don't believe that Jesus was witnessed to from heaven at His birth, at His baptism, at His suffering in Calvary. On the way there, they don't believe that He shed literal blood on the cross to appease the wrath of God. They don't believe that. Those who do not believe God, they have made him a liar because they don't believe the record that God gave of his son. They don't believe that. Amen. Now look at verse number 11. Watch how John sews all this together. When Jesus comes in his birth, the virgin-born Son of God, God has witnessed to him all through his life. And then Christ came not only by water and by blood, the Spirit of God witnessed to him in that time there, but he shed his blood on the cross. What do we call the work of Christ from, if you will, from his birth, his sinless life to his death on the cross? What do we call that? We talk about the work of redemption, the work of salvation. Now, I know that we could get to the pre-incarnate Christ and all of the plan of God before that. We also need to get the resurrection. I get that. But if we believe this particular part of the record, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, how in the world does God sew all those together and put them under one term? Excuse me. Look in verse number 11. And this is the record. Here it is. You ready? Watch me now. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Excuse me. And this life is in His Son. Here's the record. God has given to us a Savior who came by water, who came by blood, who was witnessed from heaven by the Spirit. The work of redemption has purchased for us eternal life. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is where? In His Son. I wonder what eternal life means. I think it means eternal. That means it starts here and it just keeps on going and it don't stop. Eternal life means just that. Eternal life is life that lasts forever. It does not stop. This is the record that God gave of His Son. God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in His Son. That's why verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. And those who do not have the Son of God, they don't have life. And that's why he could say in 5:13 that he wrote these things to those of us who believe on the name of the Son of God so that we could know that we have eternal life. You see that? So here's where I want us to just kind of sew things up tonight. God has given his people eternal life. This life is in his Son. Now, if someone does not believe the record, not believing God dishonors him. My dad told me, he said, son, I would rather be stolen from than lied to. And it took me a long time to understand exactly what he meant by that. I'd rather be stolen from than lied to. Typically, you're stolen from by a stranger. The people who lie to you more than likely are people that you know. But there's something about that bothers a person. Not believing God dishonors him. But how do you not believe God? You don't believe the record. You don't believe the virgin born Son of God. You don't believe that God has witnessed him and says who Jesus says he is. You don't believe that he shed his blood on Calvary for our sins. So I want to just leave that with us tonight, that we have assurance of salvation and we can have it because of the record that God has given of his Son. God has witnessed from heaven as to who Jesus is. And you can have eternal life by believing the record of God. So people will say, well, how do I know if I believe? How do I know if I have trusted? How do I know? And I've talked to people over the last, I couldn't tell you how many years, have asked those questions. You say, preacher, I want to make sure that I believe the record. Well, listen, it's more than just a mental assent to historical facts. But you are placing your eternal destiny, listen, on the record, the testimony that God has given of His Son. I will go on record, I can't want to use that word here, saying I do not believe that there is one God whose name is Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. I do not believe that. Do not believe it. I do not believe that Mary is co-mediatrix with Christ and I've got to go through her and the saints to get to God. I do not believe that. I do not believe that baptism is necessary for salvation. I do not believe that. Amen. I do not believe that any of the other pagan gods, whether it's Thor, whether it's Odin, whether it happens to be somebody over in Asia, don't believe any of it. I don't believe any of that. Amen. Don't believe Confucianism, Shintoism, Buddhism, Hinduism, or any of the other isms and schisms that are out on the market. I don't believe any of them. I believe that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God who lived a sinlessly perfect life, who laid His life down on the cross of Calvary, shed His blood there on that place under the wrath of God. God saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied. I put all my eggs in that basket. Amen. I'm a Baptist, but I'm not trusting the Baptist to save me. I'm a local church man, but I'm not trusting local church affiliation or membership to save me. I am trusting the finished work of Christ alone for salvation, and that's it. Okay? Can you say that? Can you say that? Sometimes you say, well, the devil tempts me to think that there is no God. Let me just ask you a question. I'm going to do this tonight. Has anybody ever... After you have been saved, a thought comes into your mind that says, either there is no God, this is all not real, you're just imagining this, what happened to you really didn't happen. Anybody had anything like that before? Just me? Okay. I'm getting about, you know, 6 or 8 hands going up. Amen. That doesn't happen to lost people. That happens to saved people. The devil doesn't bother people who are already his. Amen. Listen, I'm not shooting at somebody who's walking down the street. I shoot somebody when they break into my house 2 o'clock in the morning. I haven't done it yet, and I hope I don't ever do it. Amen. The devil's not going to bother people who are you know, his own, living in his house. But he's going to try to get them whenever they try to escape. You know what I'm saying? So you can trust the record. If you believe what God says, put your faith in the very words of God. Pillow your head on that at night because you're resting on solid ground. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I have said all that I need to say tonight. Amen. And I believe that'll take care of the message tonight. All right. Hopefully that helped you out. I hope so.